Let's pray. Father in heaven, if we're all honest, we really have very little grasp on your love. For God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what your word tells us. That God so loved the world that he gave. You loved a world that hates you. You loved a world full of sinners that have broken every law you've ever given, all of us included, that wants to live our own way, do our own thing, to be our own lords, our own saviors, our own Messiah. And you loved us so much, you gave the very best that the entire cosmos could possibly offer. You gave your eternal Son, who became flesh, and dwelt among us, as we heard last week, in such a way that those who were with him could behold his glory, glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You lived a righteous life, which we would not and we could not because of our sin and our depravity. And you died the death that we had earned, bore the wrath of God, and became a curse for us. And you rose again to prove once for all that you are Lord. The love of Christmas has certainly changed my life. I'll never be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sticking with me, continuing to conform me to your image, even when I'm stubborn and I want to go my own way. Thank you for being a God who saves the likes of me. Will you save sinners today, God, who are still living for themselves? Will you grip our hearts, every man, woman, boy, and girl, with the love of Christ in Christmas? And all God's people said.
You stand with us. Dave, will you turn it on? All right, let's sing together. Let's worship this morning. Sing, "Oh Come All You Faithful." One. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye.
about a king who came to rescue. The people were the Israelites. The nation was Egypt, and the one the king sent to lead the people out of Egypt was a man named Moses. Moses was chosen, shaped, and led to go to Egypt and lead the people into the promised land. Remember, Pharaoh refused to let the people go, and so God, the king, sent and pursued his people through 10 plagues of judgment on the Egyptians, and eventually Pharaoh said, "You may go." And so Moses led the people out of Egypt into the promised land. Exodus is really a story of God the King who rescues his people. Isaiah speaks of this Savior King in Isaiah chapter 9 when he says it like this. You may know the passage. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In the increase of his government, there shall be no end. You see, the baby boy in this passage is a Savior King. And he has come to rescue his people. This is really the story of Christmas. Isaiah 7:14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Then Luke chapter 2, we hear the story. In those days, a decree from Caesar Augustus came out that all the world should be registered. It was the first registration where Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered in his own hometown, including Joseph, also went up from Galilee to the house, to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, to the place called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. We know that while they were there, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there's no place for them in the inn. What we discover when we put these two passages together is an amazing miracle that God did. In Isaiah chapter 7 and Luke chapter 2, God cements in writing what the prophet said in 700 years before. That on Christmas Day, Jesus the King would be born to Joseph and Mary in a town called Bethlehem. Mary was not married. She had not been intimate with any man. But yet God, through his divine plan, sent Jesus to this virgin to be born. God would do what no man could do by bringing up his son to this earth through the womb of a virgin. God had promised this. He keeps his promises. Jesus, the one from heaven who created all things, came into the world that he created. Jesus was born to a carpenter, simple man, and a mother who was just a homemaker, if you will, but she was willing to receive and do what God had asked her to do. God would accomplish his purposes his way. God is the one who plans history. He's the one who guides history. He is the one that Christmas is all about. You see, behind all circumstances, behind all people, behind all events, stands the one who determines everything. He plans all outcomes. Even when we cannot understand clearly or see plainly, God's at work. He will not allow his plans to fade away. He will not keep his promises. He will always keep his promises. And so we find in the Christmas story, Jesus, the promised King, has come.
What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Jesus came as was promised. He came as a king. He came as a king of light. Back to Isaiah chapter 9. Listen to what Isaiah tells us about this child. Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in darkness, on them a light has shone. Now I want to fast forward you to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we find this story of a man named Simeon who went to the temple to pray, to worship God. And in the meantime, or during this time, he was looking for the Messiah to come. And so one day when he was there, it happened to be the eighth day after Jesus was born. And you know what they do with little boys on the eighth day? They bring them to the temple, they circumcise them. And he was there that day. He puts his eyes on Jesus, and Simeon just gets so excited. Here's what Simeon says. He grabs Jesus up in his arms. He looks at Jesus. He cries out, says, "Blessed Lord, Lord, you're letting your servant now depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Speaking of baby Jesus in his hands. "You have prepared in the presence of all people a light of revelation to the Gentiles." Do you hear that? We're the Gentiles, I guess. Are there Jews in here? We don't have a Jew. We're the Gentiles. A light of revelation to the people. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had come. And Simeon was holding him there in his hands. He would be the light to the Gentiles. So let me ask you, what does the light do? Well, a light reveals. A light exposes. A light makes known what is in the darkness. Come. So Jesus has come to reveal. First of all, Jesus has come to reveal God. Jesus would tell his disciples that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. Matter of fact, if you remember, his disciples following him in John chapter 15, Philip, one of his disciples, after he'd been with Jesus almost 3 years, said, "Jesus, just show us God, it'll be okay." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, Philip. Have you not seen me?" He says, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen the Father." You see, Jesus was here to reveal who God is and what God was like. Because he was God. Jesus, the light, also exposes the darkness around us. His light exposes the darkness around us, but also in us. The problem that we have is that we have loved the darkness instead of the light. We run from the light because we don't want to be exposed. The good news is that God hasn't left us. He continues to pursue us, and God is at work in the dark places. But as he's at work, he brings his light, does he not? He comes to us in the midst to rescue us from the darkness that's around us, but also the darkness that's in us. So why do we fail to see his light? It's not because God has forsaken us. It's not because God has become silent or his light has been dimmed in the sense that he stopped shining brightly. God shines. It's because those things around us grow big and loud and difficult, and We let the darkness around us cloud out his light. May that not happen to you this Christmas. So go with me. Let me share with you the truth. Jesus is the light of the world, and he speaks. He's whispering to some of you this morning. He may be shouting at some of you this morning, but the message is the same. I am the light. Come to me, and I'll expose the darkness, and I'll give you the way you should live. I'll teach you my ways. You see, we must believe about God. Excuse me. We must believe about Jesus, that he was sent by God to be the light of revelation to us. He. You see, light and darkness are mutually exclusive. They're kind of like oil and water. They do not mix. In other words, you can't say you know God and walk in darkness and that be true. Why? Because Jesus will overcome the darkness. Jesus will expose the darkness. And you'll desire to live with him in light. So when you come to know him, he gives you light and life to all of those who believe. Let's sing together.
Would you stand?
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reckon.
Here we go.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph.
Luke chapter 1, back to the Christmas story, verses 26 through 38 tells us this part of it. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, and he tells Mary, "Mary, you have found favor with God." And he goes on to say, "Because you found favor with God, Mary, you're going to conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he'll be holy, and he'll be the holiest one. He'll be from the Son from the Most High." Mary's response to the angel was, how will this be? I'm just a virgin. How can that be? The answer that the Holy Spirit gave to her through the angel is that this would happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child born to you will be called holy. Be a holy child. And then he goes on to add, nothing is impossible with God. After hearing this, Mary's response was pretty much, wow. Behold, I am God's servant. Let it be according to your word. You see, it's not impossible from you to go from living in darkness to living in the light. It is only knowing, though, this King of the light, can you find light for you and purpose and meaning in life. How does God, how do you receive God's purpose and meaning? Well, you do it like Mary did. She humbly heard the word of God and submitted to God's plan. You know what the problem is for all of us? Here's the problem. Our first response when we come to Jesus so often is, Lord, I want to do this my way. Have you ever heard that? Or have you ever done that in your own heart? Lord, I really just want to do this my way. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible says that's sin. You want to do things your way, God will let you. But it's sin. Sin says, let it be according to my plans, Lord. Sin is a longing in my heart to do what I want to do. And when I do what I want to do, it leads me in the wrong direction. It leads me into darkness. We long to rule ourselves. We long to control ourselves. We long to do our own things. We long to live our own lives. And sin says, God, don't tell me what to do. I'll do it my way. We long to be our own Lord. We long to be our own King. And so when God came to Mary and he said, Mary, I have a plan for your life. What was her response? Let it be to me as you have spoken. I'll do what you have said. Do you know what kind of response that is? It's called a humble response. That's the key to walking with Jesus. You must humble yourselves before him and say, Lord, I will do things your way. I will follow you in your plans. You see, we need to be rescued from the darkness. We need to be rescued from our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions, our sinful longings. We need God to rescue us. But it will take humility. Humility does this. It runs to Jesus. Humility brings our fears, our bitterness, our brokenness, and says to Jesus, rescue me. Do you hear that? Humility says, Lord, I have fears. I am bitter. I'm angry. Lord, I'm broken. I need you. Humility comes to Jesus' light. And when you experience his light, you experience his forgiveness, his pardon, and you experience his peace. Jesus has come to rescue you and I, but we must first be broken and humble. You bring your broken life to Jesus and receive from him only what he can do. Oh, come, all you unfaithful. Let me show you what Jesus can do for you.
Just stand with us. It's a new song. We'll sing it together. I think it's easy enough.
Christ is born.
Promise from God. He came as a light of the world in the midst of darkness. He came for those who were humble. But Jesus, this King, also came to rescue you. Matthew chapter 1 helps us here. Listen to these words. Beginning in verse 18, going through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. It was from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But something happens. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, saying to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is within her is conceived from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you read this Christmas story, or if you hear the words I read here, and you miss the last 8 words in this verse 21, you'll miss the entire story of the Bible. You'll miss Christmas. You'll miss an understanding of what the Bible's all about. How can it be, you say, Pastor? It's because of this. Jesus, the King, came to this earth as a little baby boy. But he also had a reason for coming. He had a purpose for coming. And it answers that purpose in the last 8 words of verse 21. You know what I just read, but let me say it again. Here's what it says in English. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus came to rescue. That's his purpose. He came to save us from our sins. Now go with me for a moment. Listen carefully. The Bible tells us that in this world we live in, that we are all captured by sin. We're in a prison of sin, and often we do not even know it or realize it. Sin rules us from birth to death. The grip of sin is strong. Have you not felt that before? The blindness of sin is dark. It's consuming. You see, before our King's rescue has been applied to our lives, we are all bound, we're all chained, and we're all blind. That's our condition. That's the way the Bible describes it. But we have an additional problem. You know what the additional problem is? Not only is that true of us, but we can't get out of it. We can't open our eyes. We can't get out of the prison. We can't set ourselves free. That's what the scripture tells us. We can't open the prison doors and set ourselves free. We've been captured by sin, imprisoned by sin, and we're bound there before Jesus. This is what God has told us about our world, and this is what God's told us about ourselves. So we need someone to open our eyes. We need to be set free. We need to be rescued. We need someone to come in and change us. Well, of course, how does that occur? It's through Christ. It's through his birth. It's through his life. And it's through his death. This is where the Christmas story begins to make sense. When the angel came to Joseph and said, "Your son, he will save the people from their sins." What's he saying? He's saying Jesus has come to save you from your sins. He's come to rescue you. This Savior who brings his light knows how to do that. And he does that through giving his very life for us. His light chases away the darkness. His light opens up our eyes that we might see the truth of the gospel story. And here is the gospel story. Here is the good news. Jesus came not only to be a baby, but he also came to give his life and to die for us, was buried on the third day and rose again and lives today. This Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, through this we discover how God rescues us, how he gives us a new life. Jesus' death paid the rescue price for you and I. Jesus went to the cross, gave his life for us, the perfect sacrifice. Had not sinned, had done anything wrong. But he gave his sin so that, he gave his life for us, for our sins, so that he would then take the judgment of sin, the wrath of God on himself for us. We can be set free, we can be rescued, we can be forgiven because Jesus took God's wrath for you and I. In him we have eternal life. In him we have everlasting life. That is the rescue that Jesus offers to you and I. Now, what must we do to receive this rescue? What must we do for that to be true for our lives? Well, we must believe that Jesus' death on the cross was for our sin, and that's what we need. We must believe that we need forgiveness of our sins and call out to him for it. We must believe that we need a radical change. That we're walking in the wrong direction. We need to repent and turn to God and say, "God, I need you. Save me. Help me." We must believe that the only hope for our salvation is Jesus himself and his death on the cross for our sins. And so I ask you, are you willing to turn away from your life and your kingdom today? Turn to him and let him save you and usher you into a new kingdom, because that's what he does. What must we do? Humble ourselves before him. Confess our sin, ask for forgiveness, submit our lives to him, and say, "Lord, I want to follow you," and believe that Jesus came for that very purpose, to rescue you from your sins. Oh, what a wonderful night that was, because we know that that holy night led to a holy cross in order that we might be saved.
Stand.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul a thrill of hope, though weary road. overflowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star,
Jesus is the King who is Lord. You see, Christ came not to be an earthly king, but to the ruler of one over a new kind of kingdom. Jesus is the one who rules over a kingdom of the ones he rescues. Have you been rescued? Then he rules over you. He rescues us and then rules over us. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The truth is that Christmas is a time to think about and reflect on these very thoughts, these very truths, this very Jesus in whom has saved us and shown us great love. Because this King is a King who rescues, we live under his rule. You also need to know that this King is a glorious, benevolent ruler. This King is the one who's worthy of your life. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of all you have. He's worthy of giving your all to him. The story of Christmas is Jesus the King has come to rescue. He's given his life on the cross to rescue you. He has come so that you might have new life in him and in his kingdom, which never ends. But I want to remind you in this last part, there's another part of the Christmas story that you need to hear. This part of the chapter has not been finished yet. And that is, the Bible gives a glimpse into that final chapter, because Jesus, the rescuer king, will one day come again. He's coming. His resurrection and his present rule and reign of heaven in heaven is a guarantee of that very fact. He conquered sin, he conquered death. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's ruling and reigning there, and he says one day he will return. So Jesus guarantees to us, his followers, that one day we will experience eternal peace and eternal joy in his presence and an everlasting life with him. And that is for anyone who believes. So I ask you, have you believed? Do you know of his faith in Jesus? Has he changed your life? Do you know of his rescue? Then that's your future. If not, why not today? Why not believe in him today? Why not come to him and say, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you? If you haven't, place your faith in him. Turn from your sins. Trust him as your Lord and your Savior. And you will be guaranteed this kind of life. One day Jesus will come back to take us all to himself. We will be with this King always and forever. Did you hear that? You only have two choices. One is eternal damnation. The other choice is to be with Jesus, this King that I described you, always and forever. Certainly, wouldn't you want that? Well, what will it take? Humility. Admit your sin. Admit your need for him. And say to Jesus, I want to follow you. Let him be your ruler, your rescuer, your Savior. Why not right now say to Jesus, Jesus, I need to be rescued from my sins. Pray with me a second. As we pray, is there anyone who would say, Jesus, I need to be rescued from my sins. Please rescue me. That's the start. Oh, Lord, thank you. Jesus, that you came. And you didn't stay a baby. But you were buried and you rose again. Now you live and you reign and you've overcome these things. That is sin, Satan, death, and all of these things. That we could reign with you eternally because you have rescued us from our sins. May that be true of some here this day. May they trust you. And when they do, I know they'll understand what that night was like. And they will sing with joy in their heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with us as we sing. Glad you're here this morning. I ask and pray, if you want to know more about following Jesus, talk to one of the pastors. There's many of us here, or maybe a friend that's brought you. Or maybe you said today, I want to follow Jesus. I need to be rescued. Would you tell us? We'd like to know. We'd like to help you. We'd like to help you grow in knowing Jesus more. And finally, Merry Christmas. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We have one more song.
Oh, sorry. Join the world. Sing with us.
Joy to the world. The Lord is gone. Better.
Dismissed now. Merry Christmas. Great to be with you. Amen.